Federal prosecutors and the Securities and Exchange Commission have charged Martha Stewart with perjury, obstruction of justice, and securities fraud in connection with an insider trading scandal. They said Stewart had conspired with her stockbroker to obstruct their investigation into her December 2001 sale of stock in the biotechnology company ImClone. Stewart sold her stock, alongside company insiders, one day before ImClone released damaging news that sent its stock plunging. Stewart's lawyers say she'll fight the charges, but yesterday's indictment was a big blow to Stewart's carefully manicured public image, NPR's Snigdha Prakash reports.
There she was again yesterday, plastered on television screens in living rooms across the country. But this time, Martha Stewart wasn't decorating doilies or blowtorching a creme brulee. She was arriving at a federal courthouse in Lower Manhattan. In what had to be one of her darkest hours, Stewart was a picture of poise. She stepped out of her shiny black car, shielded her face from America's prying eyes with a large off-white umbrella, and walked briskly into the courthouse to face criminal charges that, if proven, could land her in jail. There were some yesterday who agreed with Stewart's lawyer that she was paying the price for being a successful woman in a man's world. Keila Wazana Tompkins is a graduate student at Stanford University and co-editor of a Martha Stewart anthology.
I don't think they'd go after her in the same way if she was a man. I don't.
Cheryl Mendelson is author of Home Comforts, The Art and Science of Keeping House.
She goes right in and becomes a billionaire talking about cookies. I think that combo arouses very strong feelings.
Stewart's persona has aroused admiration, hope, scorn, and envy for years. Martha Stewart reinvented herself from a working-class Polish girl to a waspy patrician. She holds out the promise that if we eat, garden, and decorate like her, maybe the rest of us can do that too. Stewart was born in Jersey City, New Jersey, 61 years ago. Her Polish father was, by her description, a Willy Loman-like character who drank too much and succeeded too little. As a very young woman, Martha Stewart chose a different path. She described it in a speech to the National Press Club in 1996.
Life is short, the road is long, hurry.
Stewart began her social ascent at Barnard College in New York. While she was there, she met and married a Yale lawyer, Andrew Stewart. By the 1970s, Martha Stewart had a hugely successful catering business. She ran it out of her large house in the ritzy town of Westport, Connecticut. A decade later, Stewart published her first book. It was called Entertaining. More books followed, and in 1991, a magazine, Martha Stewart Living. Stewart told the National Press Club, the magazine was an instant success.
I wasn't surprised. Other people might have been surprised, but I wasn't surprised because it was just right for the time. With all of us women, especially, going off to work, leaving our families to in the care of others, I knew that we had sort of lost touch, that we had kind of unbalanced our lives very seriously. I was one of them.
There were television programs, appearances on NBC's Today Show, and merchandising deals with Kmart, all part of what came to be Martha Stewart Living Omnimedia. She called it her mini-moguldom. In 1999, when Martha Stewart took the company public, it made her, briefly, a billionaire. Keila Wazana Tompkins says Stewart's how-to manuals are in a rich American tradition that dates back to the 19th century. But she thinks Stewart is successful for a very modern reason.
There's a way in which it's a kind of tranquil escape from everyday life. I mean, you'll never see Martha Stewart talking about the economy or, you know, the war in Iraq or street violence. Part of her appeal is exactly that sensation of stepping out of the world and stepping out of everyday life.
For Martha this morning, everyday life will be all too pressing. Last night, she resigned as CEO of her company. Today, she launches the legal fight of her life. Snigdha Prakash, NPR News, Washington.